This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The market's roller coaster continues today. Stocks are rallying as oil prices suffer a fresh fall. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Investors are striking a more optimistic tone this Monday amid signs coronavirus might be peaking in parts of Europe. Shares in Asia ended the session higher, while the Pan-European Stock 600 Index is up 2.5%. Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets, breaks down the action.
We've been here before where death rates have fallen back only for them to rise again. There is optimism that the COVID-19 fatality count is starting to plateau in Europe. It's seen European markets open on the front foot. Spain, Italy, France and the UK have seen a little bit of a slowdown. But given the fact that France, Italy and Spain have extended their lockdown periods, would suggest that while there is room for cautious optimism, until we break above the highs that we saw last week, I'm not prepared to say that this is a turning point quite yet.
So while stock prices today might be in the green, oil prices aren't faring nearly as well. Brent crude, the international benchmark, is down about 3%. That's after an expected meeting among OPEC and Russia was delayed until Thursday. This is all about how much supply will be coming onto the market in the near term, right?
It certainly is, but also I think there is a demand side to this particular equation as well, because ultimately while the price war is between Russia and Saudi Arabia, there is a Trump-sized elephant in the room with respect to U.S. shale producers. 2 or 3 years ago, there wasn't the output that U.S. shale had that we have now. And that is adding an extra wrinkle to the overall process when it comes to agreeing production cuts. Ultimately, even if there is a cut by Saudi Arabia and Russia, it's not going to be sufficient, I feel, to offset the demand shock. So while you might see a stabilization in prices, I don't think that we'll see a significant uplift, even if we do get an agreement come Thursday.
Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets. Thank you.
Thank you.
To Asia now, where governments are continuing to unveil stimulus measures to combat the economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic. The BBC's Sharanjit Lail explains details of Singapore's third budget in less than 2 months.
Essentially, what Singapore is looking to do is to subsidize wages for many of the country's companies. You know, they want to keep employees gainfully employed at these companies, even though many of them are working from home. They're also giving up to 600 Singapore dollars per adult. And really, all of it is to try to tide over the economic slowdown being caused by this pandemic. I mean, Singapore is often seen as a gauge of the global economy because of its openness to trade. It's really projecting a very steep contraction this year.
And Japan's prime minister has also been speaking this morning. The country had been expected to declare a state of emergency as early as tomorrow. What do we know so far?
And at the moment, I've just got reports from the Japanese broadcaster NHK and some other Japanese press. Essentially, they're saying that they've announced a big stimulus budget as well. So this is some 20% of the country's GDP. It's amounting to nearly $1 trillion. This is on top of the other two previous budgets they had announced. And really, all of this is to try to, again, fight the economic slowdown being caused by this pandemic. Japan at the moment has just over 3,000 infected cases. Some 85 people have died. And there's been a lot of pressure on Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to call a state of emergency, which we believe he's doing just now. But the state of emergency would only really apply to a number of prefectures, including the city of Tokyo, where we believe Osaka. What's really unusual about Japan and its state of emergency is that Japan has in its constitution that it can't really enforce it. So people are being told to stay home. They're assuming that the Japanese will be obedient and abide by this, but they don't, unlike a lot of other countries, they don't have the ability to send the police after them to prosecute people if they are not obedient and they do go out. It is unusual because obviously you've seen the police out going after other people who break out from their isolation, for instance, in other cities.
Okay, a developing story we'll keep an eye on throughout the day. The BBC's Sharonjit Lail, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Scientists are still looking for a treatment for COVID-19 or a vaccine to help prevent the spread. President Trump has touted an anti-malaria drug, which he believes could be a game changer, though health experts say the efficacy hasn't yet been proved. Still, the Indian government has put a complete ban on the export of the drug, as the BBC's Nikhil Inamdar reports.
They say it's a drug that's a critical part of the United States' national drug stockpile with 29 million tablets, but it seems Trump wants more because he got onto a call with Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Saturday and requested him to release the orders that the US had placed before the ban came into effect. Whether India will yield to this is a big question because this is the same drug that is being used, at least for some people, and through prescription as the recommended preventative medication in the domestic market. There are some speculative reports in the media suggesting that India could consider lifting a ban, although there is no official confirmation from the government. In Mumbai, I'm the BBC's Nikhil Inamdar for Marketplace.
Finally, if you're wondering how far you should stand from someone while you're social distancing, there's now an app for that. It's still in the testing phase, but the 1.5 app, which measures the distance, uses both Bluetooth technology to calculate the space between you and someone else with a mobile phone. If someone gets too close, the phone vibrates and warns you to keep your distance. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.